Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love this passage from 1 Timothy. This passage from 1 Timothy almost speaks for itself. It almost tells a sermon of itself. It is Paul giving witness to the power that Christ has given over him and how he changed his life, how his life changed. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Paul. And Paul, it was indeed, he persecuted Christians. He had this conversion experience on the road to Damascus. He was one of the worst of the worst, as we read in Acts. And he changed because of the power that God gave him. Now, many scholars will tell you, and I'm kind of inclined to agree with them, that maybe the first letter to Timothy might not have been written in Paul's hand, but came later, because they're written in a different kind of language than Paul would have written. And some of the things that people find troubling, particularly in 1 Timothy. This is one of the two letters that we find where Paul says that a woman should, you know, the woman's place in this. And this is the misogynist Paul that we hear about. And it becomes easy to say, well, that wasn't really Paul. And I, you know, while I don't happen to believe that what was written in Timothy and the other letter that there is, but women should be subservient to men, and the way they're written was necessarily applies to all women, and it's necessarily is meant to be taken in that context. Some people certainly do. But I do find some comfort in the words of 1 Timothy, in this, what they call the pastoral epistle of 1 Timothy. And it's not up to me to decide whether or not it was written by Paul. And so here, Paul is telling us that he has been fully accepted by Christ Jesus. And me, someone who lived out there in the wilderness for quite some time, because I struggled with my belief. And I find, I was talking to some pastors yesterday. I was at a meeting, you know, my what we call a pastoral mentoring group. And I talked about, I said, one of the things that I have struggled with is when I tell people that I sometimes have doubts. And some people, thank goodness it doesn't really happen in my congregation very much, but some people, you're a pastor, how can you have doubts?
How can you not?
Right. Thank you, Gary. How can we not have doubts when we hear some of the things? And it's only because the world around me, I mean, logic, when I just get stuck in my head and I think logically, I'm like, well, gosh, none of this could have happened. This is just all silliness and craziness. And yet when I feel deeply within my heart what Jesus has done for me and has done for the people around me, and when I hear the words that the body of Christ is not only in the bread but also in the community of the church, I feel deeply where Christ lives. And I think this is the King of Kings. And I'm going to leave you with it, because I can't read this passage without thinking of immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. God has given us this world. God has given us this world to steward for him. God has given us his grace and mercy that we might know him and that we might be closer to him and that we might share with him this miracle of his kingdom that has been promised to us. And it is wonderful. It is such good news. And today I feel so much gratitude for the God that I have in my heart. He has given that to me. Amen.